Hey, what's up, world? It's your host, DJ Ace, and I'm back with another episode from the podcast, The Authentic Millennial, where we help motivate, oh my God!
Dance break.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? You ordered some food?
I ordered some food?
Yeah, did you order some food?
Yeah, I did. From where?
From outside in like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because I'm supposed to deliver somebody first. But they don't make no sense. You can meet me in front because I got to pass that area.
I got you, homie.
Yeah, I'll be there in like not even 5 minutes, bro.
All right, copy.
Yo. Oh, I love my New York people. Let me tell you something. Only in New York will somebody tell you, yo, I'm supposed to deliver to somebody else, but they don't make sense. So I'm going to come to you first. Only in New York. Y'all watch where y'all get y'all Uber drivers from. Y'all watch where y'all get y'all Lyft, y'all DoorDash, and anything else New York got going on. Because you liable. You liable to get up.
Yo, I'm so happy.
You said 9:40. It's 9:21. Your meal is on time. It's early.
Yo, I gotta come outside. I'm about to get robbed if I don't come get my food. Cause my man's like really, he sound really tight.
He is not having it.
He's not playing.
He don't even want to tell you where you got your food from. You order food, come outside.
I'm outside, fam. Yo.
Right, catch me outside. How about that?
Pause this real quick because I'm glad we got that on recording because that was lit. You can't make that up. That was dope.
You can't make that up. That was dope. See, I'm glad. And it seconds, literally seconds before you were saying, should you record?
And that you can't make that up. I just got robbed on my phone. Hold on, I'll be right back. And your phone fucking up. Oh no, man. Listen, is listeners, we're at the point where fuck it. This ain't gonna be your regular podcast. You know what I mean? This is, I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry if I just dropped the F bomb so early on the episode, but originally when I started this, you know, thinking about how this podcast is going to be, I just want to let the millennials know that, yo, you guys are lit as fuck. I'm telling you right now, give yourselves a round of applause. Like, just clap it up because, wow. I mean, the shit that's going on right now with the pandemic, the riots, protesting, you know what I mean? The police brutality, all of it. But what I really, 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 really love is the fact that, you know, people have been saying it for a long time that the millennials are disruptors. And shit, like, y'all really.
Oh, y'all right again.
Like, God, y'all is really disrupting this motherfucker. And I am impressed and I am loving it.
Here for it.
All for it. I mean, I got my homegirl, all the fellow podcaster, Chaz, with me. You know what I mean? She's going to be rocking with us today.
What's up, y'all?
She's from the Chilling With Ya podcast.
I'm in the bag. You know, the In the Bag podcast.
You're in the bag. Get in the bag. What's that? Life bag? What's that?
The Life Bag podcast.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, no fucking theme song, none of that shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm listening. I'm like, yeah, I have a Facebook group that I'm on and everything. And I'm listening. Yo, people ain't saying shit, man. They're not saying anything. So. Fuck it. New format, new everything. I mean, I'm sorry if y'all used to my old format of how I did it for the last 23, 24, whatever, how many episodes. Shit, I'll be doing it different.
Things change, you know?
It's time to change. There are no rules.
There
are no rules.
And ask the NYPD.
Oh.
Ask the LAPD.
Ooh.
Ask Minneapolis PD. There are no rules.
Man, if I say shots fired, is that too soon?
Is that pun intended? That's too much?
My God.
We can just drop a flex bomb. How about that?
Well, I will do. I'll do sound effects. I will post-edit sound effects into this bitch. I will do that. Because it's time to let people know what type of time we on. And like I said before, I really was coming into this podcast with a game plan, and my day has just been going to shit.
Started real like the Neptune sound. Burr, burr, burr.
So I'm like, fuck a plan A, fuck a plan B, and fuck a plan C.
Are now at Z officially.
We are doing it. But I do want to say once again, put the spotlight on the millennials. This shit is lit as fuck. I mean, you saw I was recording, and right in between me doing the intro, I got the phone call from the delivery guy. From
was that Uber Eats?
Uber Eats. No, that was Seamless. I think that was,
oh.
Yeah, but you mean, yo, I felt like I got robbed or something. Like, mama pressured me to come get that food, fam. Like, he was
yo, come outside in 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Because the people I tried to order to before ain't make no sense. Okay, okay, bro.
I was scared. I was going to call you and tell you to stay on the phone with me. Like, just in case. I didn't know what the fuck this
is. Is this a cop delivering to me? Because this is, I need to understand. Is this a setup?
Yo, your man was really pressuring me to come get the food. So I'm like, yo, I was a little nervous. And then it was a white dude on top of it, like an older
was
white.
Was it really?
Yes. That's what was even crazier. I was like, did you really think he was black? Because he wasn't.
There's like, no way. Wait, the guy that called on the phone, he was older?
Yes, an older white dude. I was like, bro, your voice don't match.
They done gentrified the whole thing, the whole getup.
Yo,
are we culture vulturing? Because I could have sworn that was using voice changers.
Yo, he's like, you Omar, right? And I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, God, nigga, you from the hood too?
Yes, I am. That's me.
I get it, and that's where I want to. I do want to make it clear when I say the millennials are lit, and I'm talking all races. All right, let's get this.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm loving it. I'm super proud for black people right now. Like, yo, jumping up in joy, hallelujah. Like, this is lit for me. You know what I mean? I never thought this day would come. Mm-hmm. So I'm loving this. I mean, finally, you know, especially in Hollywood, you know, you got black movies written by black writers now. Like, this shit, what? Like
with
that.
Black actors and actresses.
I mean, God, the walls are crumbling. Like, they are crumbling. I'm loving it.
The modern day Jericho.
Yo, like, I thought 2019 was my best year. Hell fucking no. 2019, I'm looking at. 2020
is showing out.
What?
Yo, Shorty showed out.
Straight diva status.
Yo, 2020 is kind of like, you ever with, like, when you were in your teenage years and your parents told you couldn't do something and then, like, you snuck out and did it anyway. And then at one point was like, I'm supposed to be home by 12, but since it's 12:30 and I still ain't home, I might as well just rock out because I'm still going to get in the same amount of trouble anyway. So we lit. And that's what 2020 is doing. She just out here.
Yo, I just hear Beyonce, now show out.
Go out.
Like, that's all I'm hearing right now. Like, that's 2020's theme song. Like, it is straight
formation.
Beyonce. Formation. Straight formation in this bitch right now. Like, it's, I'm loving it though. I'm really loving 2020. And I just want to say something for the media. Like, go fuck yourselves, because how say America's in crisis? Because it is not, baby. It is. This is what change looks like. This is not fucking, this is not a crisis. America is changing.
And they can't handle it. You can't handle the truth. That's what it feels like.
I want to drop a story real quick to go with this. I promise you it matches up. So, I mean, it might be gross, but hear me out.
So, thanks for the disclaimer.
My sister, she's cleaning out my daughter's ear with a Q-tip. And, you know, she pulls out, you know, wax. I'm sorry if I don't mean to embarrass nobody. I'm sorry.
Come on.
But she pulls wax out or whatever. And then I text her mom, I text my daughter's mom, like, yo, you know, we need to do a better job cleaning her ear. And, you know, and then she texts me back with a picture of a bottle of earwax solution.
Oh, like Dubrox.
Like, a liquid form. And see, she's like, I don't think we should be putting Q-tips in her ear or anybody's ear. Mm-hmm. Now, my ego, and this is why I realize I'm a changed man. Because my ego wants, like, yo, this bitch. But
look, you mean that we shouldn't? What you doing? You're trying to tell me what to do.
Exactly. You trying to control me? What are you trying to say? And then it's getting into defense mode, right? Because now it's like, well, you trying to say my sister don't know better? Like, this is how my family's been doing it for years. So what mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean? Like that's all that I was doing. But I had to check myself. And as crazy as this might sound, I actually had to do research mm-hmm. on the proper way to clean your ear. And how dangerous it is to put Q-tips or anything else in your ear. You know what I mean? And I really had to back off my ego or back off my limited beliefs that I've had for the last, 39 years of my life of how my family of generations have been cleaning ears.
Right.
You feel me? To realize.
Listen, somebody else just learned for the first time too. So shout out to the story.
And this is where I'm going at. Like, yo. It's the first thing is safety mode. Like, even when you're going against change, your mind is, your ego is telling you, no, this is not the way. Like, even if you got older white people and you got black people, you got all other people saying, yo, no, black people lives matter, this shit ain't the way. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? We've been doing this for years. My great granddaddy told me that white, black people are this and blah, blah, blah. So this is how we've been moving ever since. Mm-hmm. So get into that defense mode, you know, until you start thinking for yourself, which these millennials are doing, which is why I love them.
Yes, it's so interesting because I just was talking about the other day on my podcast, like, you're going to be a thought producer or you're going to be a thought consumer, because it's only way you're going to go. Either you're going to be that person that you sit around waiting to hear a thought, to consume it, believe it, and then be and criticize it, or you're going to be the person that's going to hear a thought to challenge it or to come up with your own belief or your own reasoning or your own understanding of why it is that way, and you're going to rock out and do something about it. But, you know, we live in a time where it's real popular to do what most people are doing, the majority of people are doing. So to see millennials popping out like, nah, buddy, it's dope.
Thank you, man. And I just want to say, just, you know, make it clear, yo, shout out to my baby mama. You know what I mean? Thank you.
And we were not talking about you.
You know what I mean? Just using it as an example.
Big up.
You know what I mean? Peace.
Right, peace and love, like a Buddhist. We good.
Peace on earth, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm about. But yeah.
Your experience has taught millions now. Thank you.
for real. You know, so I'm just happy that, you know, we had that moment. And I'm like, wow, like, I really have to challenge my family's, you know, thoughts and, you know, their thought, what they've taught me, their belief system, you know? So, yeah. So that was a little thing that I had to share and just let you guys know why the fuck it's so hard for the older generation to, like, really change. They've been doing this shit for many, many, many years, and they're not the one to really question, is this true or not? Keep consuming. Gobble it up. Here's that gravy. Eat it up, man. That's what they're doing. But yeah, and then I also want to say, old people suck.
Old people suck. Oh gosh.
Old people, they do. No, and not when I say, this might sound like a rant, but fuck it. I'm just tired of, we are helping you or helping them with their, just turning on, just how to turn on a goddamn computer. You know what I mean? Like, we are just helping you with that simple ass process. But then, yeah, still, you give us no credit. You still call us lazy. You know what I mean? Millennials are called all these fucking names and shit. But mind you, we are saving your asses, especially during a goddamn pandemic where you gotta use everything on online.
Listen, you know what? I feel where you're going, but you know, I have to, like, you know, take this out of my grandmother, because, you know, like, I'd be out here, I'd be having to take a breather sometimes. Like, she be hitting me up like today, matter of fact. She came to me and was like, I've been trying to get these sandals on Macy's. First of all, grandma, of all the things you're trying to buy in a pandemic, why are you buying sandals? Where are we going? Where are you wearing them? So you're gonna kick your feet up on your bed with these brand new shoes? Because I just want to know, where are we going? And she wanted these damn fancy shoes. They was on sale. So I said, okay, I'm helping her through the whole time. She's like, I kept on doing it and it won't let me get through. I don't know why, because I got the money. Because, you know, that's the first thing people let us say, like, I got the money. Like, we let it feel like somebody trying to tell us we can't afford something. So I got the money. And it's like, okay, I believe you. I believe that you got the money.
Grandma sound wounded. Grandma sound wounded.
Right. Like, I believe you. But the whole time, then I go look at it and she done filled out everything but the shipping address portion.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like,
My heavy attention.
So I was like, so where exactly were they supposed to send your shoes? I just don't understand. And I have to remember, though, you know, that it is such an adjustment. Like, my grandmother growing up, one, she, her parents came to New York from Puerto Rico. And so even though Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, the culture can be vastly different. And of course, the language is different. And so she was more like the parent in her household, because she was helping her mom and her dad acclimate because they knew no English at all. And so on top of, like, going through her own process, she was trying to be there for them. And so I think that now there's a sense of entitlement that she's developed, feeling like, I gave a portion of my life away to helping people. And so now I feel like people should do the same thing for me.
Entitlement.
Entitlement. But that is America at its finest. So, you know, I partially can't blame her, but I really be trying to teach her. I'm like, look, let me not fish for you. Let me teach you how to fish.
Oh,
But anyway, so yeah, I get where we going with the old people, but you know, I got love for y'all too, old people, just a little bit.
Well, yeah, we got love, definitely got love, but I mean, I just want the damn credit, please.
This is true.
You need us. Stop acting like you don't, and stop being honest. You know what I mean? Stop being on the millennials, like, oh, they're not doing shit. Look at them, they're still in their fucking house making money. Like what? Like yeah, we don't.
They're hating.
The job market has changed. There's a lot of online jobs. Like I've been DJing for the last like month online. Okay. This shit is lit. Like it's fucking crazy. All right. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different. It's different. Different.
On top of goals that just shifted. I think millennials have done a really good job at realizing that like, I don't want to necessarily do what you did. You told me, well, you thought that you had to get married, go to school, get a house,
tell them.
Get a job,
what?
Get a car
and
have a baby. And then, you know, live life happily ever after and let them repeat the cycle. Then you're going to teach your kid how to grow up, go to school, live life,
what?
Get a job, have a baby. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, this generation is really beginning to think about, like, do I want to move out of my parents' house at 18? Do I have to? Does it make more sense for me to become financially stable before I just jump out here on my own and get credit cards and for the sake of saying that I quote unquote own a thing and you rent an apartment for forever? And then how can I get ahead to own if I'm always in a space of renting? And that's not to say there's anything wrong with renting, but to each his own. And I think that millennials have really begun to challenge the thought that like, I don't have to do a thing because it's been the tradition.
Tell them.
All right, I'm preaching, y'all. I'm done.
But I mean, and it goes back to the earwax story, you know.
we have now coined the earwax story.
You
know what? I'm like, that's gonna now become like, you know how we have like African proverbs and Chinese proverbs. It's gonna be like, let me tell you an urban legend called the earwax story.
Well, you remember where you came from, all right?
Give me my credit. Don't be like an old person.
Wise old man, DJ Ace.
A wise old man.
His daughter was having ear trouble. But no, I was having earwax problems. But sorry. Just swallowing right now. But yeah, so, I mean, it goes right back to challenging it, right? Instead of getting upset, instead of following, like, instead of, I could have just said, well, my fan's been doing it this way for many years, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No, like, really look into it. And does this work for me? I mean, and my child's mother could have been completely wrong, but I at least did the research. Mm-hmm. And said, you made a good point, valid point, because, you know, I was on YouTube and I was watching those doctors like do a demo. And like they said, like you've just been pushing the wax in deeper. The air deeper and deeper to one day it's as thick as a fucking crayon. And I was like, God damn.
Not a crayon. No.
You say it was
whole Crayola between the head.
I'll send you the link, bro. My man said it's as thick as a crayon, it's a brown crayon. That's what he said. I was like, God damn, that's graphic. But yeah. So I'm like, okay, that I get it now. So I'm like, yes. So as to your point. Definitely keep challenging. And that's why they were taking down statues right now.
Yeah, let me tell you. So right now I'm in Richmond. And let me tell you how that excites me so much, because if anybody knows any history about the United States, Richmond is like the hub. The hub, Jamestown itself. And so it's been so rewarding. I mean, for years, people of color have been like, Christopher Columbus discovered what, goddamn America? Stop lying. And so, you know, to see these statues like being torn down, I think it's more so the act of empowerment that you see people feeling, you know, and it was so funny. I was telling my mom the other day, I was at a protest on Saturday. And I was telling my mom, you know, what's so interesting is that they take time out to put these statues on top of land. Right. And if you think about it, just like historically, just in tradition, people of color were never taught really the value of land. We worked the land and we toiled the land. And so we were taught the value of work, but we were not taught the value of ownership and land in that sense. And so I was like, yo, these people take the time out to put these statues on land. Think about how much value that has to them. You know what I'm saying? Like people see land as money. They see land as money. And this is not land that they're trying to profiteer or like profit from. They're literally reserving this land to put this monument to kind of speak on their behalf at all times, like it's here. And whether you know it or not, we know why it's here and we're glad that it's here. And so to now have people, like, there's times in Richmond I would have rolled by in my car up and down Monument Avenue passing all of these statues. And not that I never knew what they were, but it was more like, okay, yeah, Robert E. Lee. Okay, yeah, Stonewall. Okay, yeah, like, cool. But to see people now feeling empowered, we're like, nah, now I'm taking to it. I'm just going, oh, you got a bottle of spray can? Oh, all right, so I pass that this way. And, like, just getting at it and getting with it. It's so, like, yes, y'all. Like, get this shit out of here. We ain't for it.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
Like, you really thought this shit was crazy. Like, you really, like, oh, man, I'm glad that I came out of fear and morphed into confidence in 2020.
Listen.
I mean, yo, I mean, I had the coronavirus, okay?
Did you really?
Yes. You check my last podcast episodes. Every time I mention it on every damn episode. Yes, I had the virus. And so I ain't gonna lie. Like, that March, April, was, those months were tough. That those 2 months were fucking tough. But if God had told me, look, man, just get through these 2 months, because I promise you after that, life is going to be lit for you. And
it's like, I met his word.
Lit since.
Like, Corona basically took all the bad things out of my system with her. She's lit.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, shout out, you know,
alchemy. Not being insensitive to people who.
To all the people that they go through it, or to people who lost, you know, family members, you know, condolences. All of it, man. Definitely, you know, all of it. But, man, if you survived it, or, you know, you didn't have it, 2020, man, nothing to fear, man. Nothing. There's nothing to, like, it's just getting, it had to. This reset had to happen. You know, this hard reset, you know, call it an iPhone, call it whatever, like, we had to hit.
Call it the iPhone. Do you think it's a coincidence that, all of these things are being revealed in the year of 2020, what we symbolize as, like, perfect vision?
Yes. I mean, the awakened ones knew about this for a long time. They knew this was coming. You know, I had a sense of it, but I didn't know this is what it was going to look like. I mean, everybody was making their predictions last year, like, oh, 2020, but man, oh man. 2020, oh, you no, you don't know me, bitch. Like, 2020 is that
clearly
diva.
Now.
2020 is that diva, okay? And she is shining, Chanel bag, all of it, the whole thing.
Chanel bag.
Like, she is doing her thing.
If 2020 was an artist, she'd be Nicki Minaj.
Oh, she bad.
Petty and coming at everybody's neck.
Oh my God.
And I love the barbs. Don't come for me. I'm just saying.
Fuck you, 2019. That's all 2020 said.
I'm gonna show you who's bad.
Oh man, so yeah, I'm loving it. I'm here for all of it. You know, I you know, so okay. I know I was on my old people rant earlier, but let me tell you about even the old people who I've spoken with. You know, who's saying they're loving this time too. Like, the ones who are with it. Let me shout out to those older people who are fucking with it. Right?
Yeah, Bernie and all his friends. Bring Bernie back to the ballot.
Oh, vote him in. I mean, he'll walk around with a ventilator, but we still got his back. We don't know what's going to happen.
Everyone, we going to hold Bernie down.
Bernie old as shit.
I'm for the burn.
We'll be all for it, though. You with it. And, you know, even they're saying, like, wow, this is feels like the 60s again. You know, that's what they're like. This feels like the 60s, but it's even more involved. Like, it's more colorful this time. The diversity that's come along with this movement. You know, you had the black people fighting on one side for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you had, like, the hippies on the other side, where now you got all of it. There's a whole mixed bag of it now. And mm-hmm. Everybody's fighting. And, you know, shit is getting coverage. You know, people are apologizing. Corporations are coming out, you know.
Know what, though? I have a problem with that to some degree.
Uh-oh.
And I have a problem with it because, you know, there's the reality, like, there's a difference between repentance and not even in the sense of religion, but there's a difference between repentance and guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Don't come at me thinking that you're almost going to kind of appease me with telling me that, like, you're adhering to the standard that I'm setting for you to respect me as a human being. Because you're giving me a holiday off, because you're telling me that I have the right to wear BLM attire to work. Like, first of all, I'll wear whatever the hell I want to wear to work. Unless you buy my clothes, this is where we're going to start that conversation, okay? Exactly. Second of all, is don't do something for me because you feel guilty, because that does not denote the shift in your mentality to really provide the level of equity that is required for us to really move forward in this space and time. Because otherwise, you're just going to end up reversing right back. Mm. And so while I understand, and I do believe some corporations may be in this space of unifying and really maybe even holding themselves accountable to the truth. They're like, yo, our board has been all white. Our, you know, the moving factors and forces in our company have always moved to the majority and for white privilege. And it was just unbeknownst to us until now. And we had the space to like do this research and educate ourselves. Great. If you're there, great. I'm happy for you. But don't be that person that is so consumed, so concerned about your bottom line and going so far in the red that you're just thinking you're going to be like, oh yeah, all lives matter, Black lives matter. And then 5, 3, maybe even a year from now, your corporation is like reset right back to its original form. Because that's what I don't got time for.
See, Jesse, you jumped the gun. I was going to get to that side.
I'm so sorry. It's the activist in me. Sorry.
I was going to get there. God, I was just going to like big up.
These people in, I'm sorry.
I was going to, at least honor the real ones. You know what I mean?
I mean, but I feel like, you know, real ones get their respect. I just feel like don't be that. Don't be shady. Don't be wearing a mask. Don't do that.
We're going to address them like the NFL. Yeah, we're going to address them.
Come through.
We're definitely going to address
them. Come through.
That. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
We were wrong.
Oh, my God.
We were wrong for, you know what? I have nothing for the NFL.
Like, I keep saying, like, I don't understand.
National FU League. How about that?
I really don't understand why these players don't realize, like, yo, I am the talent, and we just create our own fucking league. Like, I don't like.
And, you know, I've been wondering about that for so long. Like, when you see people, don't get me wrong, I love Jay to the fullest. Jay is Uncle Jay. Mm. But I think about, like, these big-time players, especially African-American men who have the kind of
clout,
financial resource.
Yes.
Resource and clout. Because when you think about it, when they put Jay's name on that Barclays, everybody was hyping. If you look at the ownership percentages, Jay-Z didn't really own the Barclays. Mm. Not primarily.
Right.
Exactly. And what did we do as a community because we love Jay? We went with it. We welcomed it into our community. And what happened immediately after? Downtown Brooklyn changed forever. The face of downtown Brooklyn changed.
Yes, it did. Cindy Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So, I get real, like, when it comes to conversations like this, I'd be like, no, if we're going to call a spade, let's call it a spade. Because I'm always big people up. I'm not never trying to be a negative auntie, but I'm not ever either going to let you think that your appeasement is going to pass for real change. Because this ain't what we're doing.
Boy, and that's why we're still watching. You know what I mean? Don't get it twisted. I'm still watching.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. This shit is not going to fade away. We're not trendy, okay?
We're not trendy. This is official business.
You feel me? We're not going to be on just a Twitter hashtag and just keep it moving. No, motherfuckers. We are here to stay. And change.
I got to march too. I'll march from here to Selma if I need to. What's up?
We are here. This is really happening. And I'm telling you, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying this. I'm loving it. I mean, you know, I even talk to people, you know, let's bring the Bible into this, right? At the, like, the book of Revelations and the apocalypse and everything. And I think even people misread that as saying, oh, that means the world's going to end. No, the old is going to end, you know? And I'm not talking about old people. I'm just talking about the old ways of doing shit, like the old ways, the old views, the old vision. You know,
It's so funny. It's interesting that you say that because one of the verses in the Bible that stick out to me so much. Well, one, there's a verse I'm pretty sure somewhere in the Bible that talks about the mind being a battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the fact that we are renewed by we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And to me, you know, that speaks to the notion of like what has been the thought process and the belief in your mind and how have you battled and challenged that individually? And then how is that process of battling and challenging those thoughts going to shift you in a way that you begin to transform and you begin to change to bring forth, you know, because we're all largely responsible. Like change can't happen on a grand scale with just one or two people. It can start with one or two people. But we all, to some degree, contribute to this large wave of change that we're desiring to see. And so if you don't ever work on that relationship internally of like what those thoughts are and how do you gauge yourself and how you relate to other people, whether they're similar to you or not, we're not going to be able to enter into a real space of change either. So, and I know it's real because, you know, people of color have had a lot of trauma around religion specifically and what religion has been used for and how it's been used against. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is religion hasn't necessarily been used against us. Doctrination has been used against us in the form of religion.
Ooh, I'm about to use this word, and this is why I've been having a hard weekend. Manipulation.
Ooh.
Manipulation. Shout out to the manipulators. I see y'all.
I don't even know if I want to shout them out because you be making me real mad. I'd be in here like, you ever seen that video? I ain't playing with you, Peggy. Leave all that. That's how I feel.
The manipulators are real. And it happens as quickly and as easy as we breathe. That's how easy it is to be manipulated. You know, and I've just had to wake up because I realized that people who were close to me were doing it to me for a very long time.
And not that you better say it like that because you sound like you're tired.
I am. But, you know, for those who have eyes shall see. And now I see. And I also hear. I hear their words. You know, I was like, God, you have nothing nice to say. Or it's really about you just doing their will, you know, at by whatever cost it is to you, as long as they get what they want done. And they will use, I mean, as grown adults, grown people, you know, and I'm talking people in their 50s, 60s, you know, that old, you know, and they will still, they will still.
You made it like that was dirt age.
I mean, it could be, yeah. I mean, those are the people I'm interacting with right now. I don't know if the 80-year-olds are still manipulating. Or they just give up. Like, look, I'm on my way out. I don't give a fuck anymore. Either you're going to do it or you do it. Your dumb son, grandson. Like, you like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know. but yeah, man, like, it's just the bullying, the putting you down when you don't do what they want you to do.
But you know, when you think about that, where would you say that originates from?
Oh, from the best teachers of here, our colonizers, the America.
Oh, the America. But you know, I think, you know, it goes even beyond that. And I say that because only because you didn't listen, let me let you know right now. You didn't open the door. You didn't open the door when you bought the Bible up. You just opened the door.
Take it. Let's see.
But you know, in Genesis 1, it talks about that the world was dark and formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the earth itself, prior to God choosing to make the decision to create against the narrative of what was darkness, voidness, and formlessness, the earth was wrapped in darkness. It just was wrapped in darkness. And if you think about all of the things that are affiliated, because I often have this conversation, like, you know, I'm a person that I'm never going to push a belief on anybody. So whether you decide to take quote unquote God, Jesus, whatever, if you're a person that you'd much rather use terminology, you know, referring to the universe as a thing, then fine. But there are two very intentional and present forces, no matter what manner you choose to affiliate and associate yourself to them through. There's lightness and there's darkness. There's life and death. There's good and evil. There's that. And that kind of dichotomous existence. And so the earth was already dark before God decided to come forth and create light. So it's almost like there is that evil rooted spirit is innately in the earth. Like it's innately there. And if people were made from dust, and the earth is innately, inherently evil, then we have the ability to be exposed to and influenced by darkness and evilness at any given time, no matter who we are, no matter if we believe in God or we don't. And so that's just, you know, for me, I think that it's a spiritual thing. And even if you actually are a believer and you read the word, it tells us like the weapons of our warfare are not of this world, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds in high places, or principalities in heavenly places, whichever way you want to look at it. And so that lets me know that, like, I'm not even fighting a battle that's carnal. Like, I'm not even really fighting against my flesh. I'm fighting against the spiritual entities and powers that be. But we have to come to a level of awareness enough that we understand that and know that just because I say I'm a believer does not solely solidify that everything that I do will be godly, because that's not the case.
Well, now let's talk about it. So the reason why I'm loving what you're saying right now, and because I was at the point where I'm once again tired. I'm tired of having to hide my spiritual self to my physical, material side of friends or people that I know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm tired of having to hide my physical, material side to my
godly friends.
So I'm like, no, this is so, no. Enough. Mm-hmm. Enough. Accept me for who I am as I
am. It's both. It's both. And it's so funny. I just had a nice conversation with my homegirl the other day because I let her know, like, you know, sometimes I battle so much because of the space that I'm in my relationship with God. And I didn't grow up in church. My family wasn't that family that, like, I have uncles and grandfathers and aunts that were first ladies. And I ain't have none of that. My first exposure to church was, like, you know, on occasion when I would go with my grandfather. Him and his wife were very religious, I'll say. But even then, there was no connection for me. I didn't understand it. And so to be in this space as a grown woman in my relationship with God that I'm in, and to understand the realities of why so many people deviate from belief, but then why so many people within a belief system create this hierarchy and structure of, oh, if I didn't create this type of sin, then I'm a better Christian or a better believer than you. Oh. It's like, we have to remember that, like, we are holy both. We came into the world born iniquity, born in sin. And then it's our personal desire and decision to have a relationship with God that kind of transforms that nature. It doesn't mean that, like, I didn't decide to, you know, believe in God and then there was an erasure of my past history. Mm. I'm still that person in the sense that I have recollection of those experiences and those memories still before I decided to encounter God and before I decided to say, like, I'm believing in God and I am allowing his character to rule and direct my life. And I'm bringing that to where I am now, because otherwise, like, how is the church ever going to grow if that is indeed the purpose? God ain't come here to just, like, preach to the healed already. What I want you for what?
You know, and then, okay, so fine. Let's pull it in back into the physical world again, or to what's happening right now. What's the current social climate where, unfortunately, we had a man named by George Floyd, who died in the custody of police, you know, and now they are giving him the nickname as Jesus, as a saint, as an angel, you know, like, he wasn't, you know, he didn't come into this earth as, like, yeah, I'm telling you, that's Jesus right there. I'm telling you right there, that's Jesus. I'm telling you. You know, I mean, he wasn't going out there preaching the Bible or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You know? It was just what happened to him. You know, the sacrifice that was him, you mm-hmm. know, and now is sparking so much change, you know, and that's, you know, that's my point. All right. Forgot what my point was, but all right. But you with me though. Here, fix it up for me, please. Let the listeners know what I was talking about.
And so, are you talking about in the sense of, like, martyrdom? Like, essentially, he died a martyr because the purpose that he brought forth is, like, allowing so many people to move on behalf of, like, justice and equality. So essentially, like, that idea of being sacrificial lamb, symbolically, he represents.
Yes and no. Yes, okay. To what you're saying, but no, because it was more to what you were saying before when you were saying that, you know, you didn't just come here just to hang out with just the healed body, right. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what he was, you know, he didn't, but look how he brought the healed and the unhealed together.
Yeah, that's a fact.
He did that, you know what I mean? And that's where I'm at now with my life, you know, where I'm just like, fuck, I'm tired of hiding. I'm just, this is who I am. I bring it all full package. Like, yeah, I got some crazy ass friends. I got some crazy ass religious friends. You know,
I listen to all types of music.
Oh man, all types of music. I got my God music. You know what I mean?
I got my God music.
like I mean,
I mix it with calypso. I mix it with reggae. I mix it with, you know, reggaeton, all of that. Hip hop. You want rap? You want country? I just don't do heavy metal, but you know, whatever.
You know, like I remember I was dating this girl one time. And because, I mean, for a minute, you know, I only listened to like roots reggae. Like she was like, oh, you listen to your church music. And I'm like, church music? But I mean, all the Rastas were talking about was just about Jah, God. And
of course.
You know, that's what they were talking about. I'm like, maybe this is church music. But I just saw it as, yo, this is the great motivation I need, period, in my life.
Yeah. But it's also cultural for you, right?
Yes, it's also the culture. And it's weird for me now what I've noticed. Like after I DJ, like, you know, I DJ like a ratchet ass party or whatever.
And an hour ahead. No, I'm just
and like an hour later, I'll go home or I will start, I will play that type of music, the roots music after that, just to cleanse my soul from all of that again, you know, and just to give it, you know, a sense of balance.
Balance, yeah.
It's balance. Well, you shouldn't be being that type of music. You shouldn't be doing that type of music.
But King David also shouldn't have been sleeping with Bathsheba, who was somebody else's wife, and getting him killed on the front line of battle while he was sleeping with her. But he still was a man after God's own heart and was king, huh?
Hold on, let me get that tea. Let me sip that tea real quick.
Right.
Ooh, tell him. Go ahead, girl. Oh, spill that tea. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, because listen, when I first came into the fold and I started building my relationship with God, I said, oh, Jesus, I'm Davida, because David life sound like, you know, a lot of... He been doing all of that and still, yeah, that be me, God. Mm-hmm.
Right, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, right? Even if you look back at your past, I would not change any of it because I would not be the man who I am today, who's just striving or to be just a well-balanced person. I'm not even trying to be the ultimate, the greatest or whatever. I'm just trying to be lit for me. And for the people around me and for those who, look, man, I'm here for you. That's
right.
That's it.
I mean, I think that that's important, though, because as you maneuver, it's important to understand, like, you know, there's this saying that I used to always and still do here. I actually just heard it in a sermon the other day. Like, you never want to be too spiritual to be any earthly good, but you also don't want to be too earthly to be any spiritual good, to not be any spiritual good. Mm. And that in itself, like indicating the need for balance. And I think being able to be well-grounded in both is important because you never want to surround yourself with people that are going to prohibit you or limit and or hold you back from God's will for your life. Because ultimately, like, you know, that's why you're here. But at the same token, it's like in understanding that if my purpose is to bring God glory, it's more about me figuring out how is that going to manifest? How do I do that with being the entire package that you made me, with my personality, with my upbringing, with my experience, like with my relationship with you, with my education, however it is that I've learned, not even meaning just traditionally, but in any manner that I've learned, how do I take all of that together and let people see God in me? Because ultimately it's not my job to tell you that you're sinning because I was a sinner too. You know, he told them when they brought that lady forth, they said, okay, so whoever didn't sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Mm. Not near stone went up.
Not near stone. Not near another stone.
Not near another one.
Where your stones at now, huh?
Where your stones at? Kick rocks, my kick rocks. That, yeah, y'all go ahead, kick rocks.
We're sorry.
You right, G.
You got it.
You got it, son.
But you know what I mean? But that's exactly where we're at, you know? And then it goes back to, man, you're lit. You're lit. You are lit. You stumped me. I'm stumped again. Okay. I have nothing to say. Defense rest.
I rest my case. Party done.
But I'm going back to the manipulators. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, because that is where this started. Sorry. So I even asked you that because you never notice how you have a daughter. So let me ask you, actually. Mm-hmm. You ever notice, like, did your daughter go through that phase when she was a kid? When whether it was.
No, she's still a kid.
She's a baby. Sorry. Let me rephrase. She's an infant. She's an infant and a baby.
I'm like, no, she's still.
She's fathers be like, my daughter 13. She's still a kid.
Still a kid. Don't
26. She's still a kid.
Still a kid, all right? Always.
But did she go through that phase when she was a baby where she would do things, whether it was her pacifier, a toy, her bottle, and throw it and expect somebody to pick it up?
She does it now with an iPad.
And then we'll keep doing it and keep expecting you to pick it up.
Oh, she gonna learn today. Nope.
But yeah. Where do kids get that from innately, right? And to your point about deception and manipulation, where does that come from? I don't think that people intentionally teach their kids to be deceptive in that way, because I'm pretty sure as a parent, you get tired of goddamn bending down and picking up that pacifier and that whatever else.
No, you just made me really think about that. And here I am just watching it now as the adults manipulating the kids. Like, well, if you don't do this, you're not getting that. You know, that I'm seeing prevalent within my family now, within myself, that I'm trying to catch myself. Like, really honoring, like, well, if my daughter don't want to do it, fuck it, she don't want to do it. like not tricking her into saying, well, you didn't all of a sudden coming up with this rule now or this award out of nowhere. Like, I understand if you laid this down prior along, but in the heat of the moment, yeah, right. But in the heat of the moment, just to get her or get your child to do whatever they want, now you're throwing this in their face, or I'm going to take your iPad away. What the? Like, I thought I had to jump on the bed to get the iPad taken away. Now you're taking my iPad off of this?
Like, and, but you know, even if you think about that on a larger scale, and I think it's just because, you know, when we're, and I'm not a parent at all, but being a person that has been parented and working with other parents, it's interesting to see that, like, I don't think we tend to think about it beyond, like, the scope of, one, the immediate situation, and two, like, our family and our home environment. But if you are teaching your child that at that age, you are essentially telling that child that the best way for me to get you to behave in a way is to threaten you. Mm-hmm. So when we look at that from a child perspective, and then you have this child that then becomes a teenager and they're out in the street or they're out in school and the principal tells them, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And they say, no, I ain't doing it. Because now there's this resistance innately, like, embedded in their operation, because they're used to having to be rebellious to be expressive. And now you have people who are coming to them and like, okay, well, I'm gonna threaten you. So how does that change any from then to when you are a grown up Black woman or Black man and now you're in the street and a cop is telling you, let me see your ID or let me stop and frisk you. And you're like, no, innately no. You know, and so now you've developed this disdain for authority overall. It has nothing to do with you just not adhering to law enforcement. You have this disdain for authority because the way that you've been parented and brought up is threat is normal and you fight back threat with rebelliousness. And so what is that message? Like, so then are we setting up our children to be in this space of like combativeness and like to let them think that being threatened is okay?
I mean, people, y'all can't see, but what I was doing, I was giving Chastity a mute clap. Yo, snap, clap.
The air clap.
Man, if I had the air horn, I would have done that too, because bombs, whatever, sound effects. Man, I might have to edit that into this, because you deserved all of it with what you just said right now, because that's my thing that I've been working on with my daughter, is to do my best. And now I am co-working with co-parenting with my child's mother as well, to do our best to ensure that we do lower the amount of inner childhood wounds that my daughter can receive from. Because it's tiring, I'll tell you that much, because you don't even realize, like, goddamn, this is another, here goes, right. Wound right there, wound. I can wound her right here so easy.
Right.
And how much of a level do you have to be as a person, as an adult, as an individual?
Yeah.
To see that. And that's why people heal, love yourself, heal yourself, because the minute you can do that, the less you will
hurt other people. That's a fact. That's simple. You know what, so I think that as you know, to your point earlier about challenging thoughts and how millennials are out here really like shifting the mold. I think for so long, we've been living under this notion that like there is a sense of hierarchy within family structures based on like ageism, if you will. Because I'm the adult, you should automatically respect me. You don't have the right to ask me a question, and you don't have the right to challenge what I tell you to do. And how faulty, I'm not going to say faulty because again, I'm not a parent. So I'm never telling a person how to parent, but more so thinking about how that impacts your child. Like a child is a human being just like you. And though they may not have the capacity to be as expressive as you, I mean, do you want your child to grow up and feel like they don't have a voice?
Yeah, a lot of parents, they don't realize that's what's happening, and they don't realize the effects of it. And I'm going to tell you real quick what happened to me today that made me realize something. And I want to, and I'm so happy that we brought this up, because I would definitely want the listeners to hear this one out.
You coming through with the stories, Ace.
Here we go. Oh, wise man. Old DJ Ace back in. So, real quick. Today, I had to help my father put up. He was changing the frame of the garage door. He was changing the frame out because, like, termites have gotten into it and just eating at the wood. So, you know. But I used to dread working with him. Especially when it comes to like carpentry work, because that was not me. But I believe he had this dream or this vision that I was going to be just like him. Like, you're Jamaican. This is what Jamaican men do. You know what I mean? Like
Jamaican.
This is what we do. You know, we fix everything. You know what I mean? I'm the plumber. I am the carpenter. What do you mean? You're not, you know?
Do but it all.
I was not good at that. I sucked
at my strength, Dad.
And he always yelled at me every time when I had to work with him as a youngster. It would be like saying, this is the worst day ever for me. like I just like, he's like, warm to you. And then, you know, you Jamaica over there. So yeah, so go over. Yes. So, and then you're like, where's that? Where am I going? like, could you give me that?
Exactly. Where are you sending me?
Where's the map? Or look for the thing. Look for the thing. What thing? What thing am I looking for? You know, the blue thing. Oh, no, no, no. And then when you don't bring back the blue thing, then you're like, you have sense. You're right. Warm to you. And I'm like, okay. First of all, if you had just labeled the item like a normal
and told me exactly what it was
and exactly where it was going to be located, fine. Or just send me a pin drop. Just tell me you don't
airdrop it to me, Dad. Where is it at?
Send me a picture. Take me a picture of it, and I will. And
SMS.
I will. So I had to work with him today, and it allowed me to revisit my childhood, and it helped me to realize where my low self-esteem was coming from, because I was being placed or put in a position to do things that I wasn't good at, or the expectation was for me to be good at. So now I'm starting to think I'm a failure, because these things that I'm not talented in doing, which he is fucking awesome in doing, you know, I'm not so great. Now I'm feel like I'm not living up to his expectations. He's getting frustrated with me. Now he's like, where did I go wrong as a father?
Why is this my child?
You know what I mean? Whereas then I really had to balance it out now, looking back as a DJ now, and just hearing people say, yo, you're a great DJ. You're awesome. You're doing this. And I'm like, I never heard any of that growing up. I never heard compliments. You know what I mean? So I see where my self-esteem, like, you was trying to make me be something that I wasn't. You know, you can picture LeBron James being a fucking school teacher. Like, bro, you, like, no, his mom is like, you're going to be a school teacher. Cut all that shit out about the basketball. You're going to be a school teacher. All right. Now you this big old 6'7" person.
Like, come on to class.
And your goddamn head on the fucking ceiling every time.
You bring your basketball to school for everybody. We're going to learn how to dribble today in class.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, back to the point where let's tie it all back in now with the childhood wounds. And I'm just telling you, people, just, I mean, even, see, even goes into dating and relationships, man. Just let your partner be. Let your partner, stop trying to fit your partner into a box that they can't be placed in.
But understand that if you're looking for something that your partner is not, it's okay to understand that that may not be the partner for you.
Hello. Hello.
That's okay.
Yeah, but
everybody's so scared about starting over, about feeling like a failure.
Change. Let's go back to the podcast, right? It's change. People are scared of change. Like I just told you, like even with the earwax story, like I had to like,
earwax story.
Go after my baby mama. And then I'm like, wait a minute. No, this is change. She just enlightened me. She put me on to something new. And that's a problem. Enlightenment comes so sudden and so easily fluid, you know? Like you're thinking that enlightenment is going to be God speaking to you, but like, no. Enlightenment was about
a person.
Sending you a picture of earwax room of a liquid that removes earwax,
right?
And you're like, oh, this is enlightenment.
Oh, okay, I just learned something new today. But you know what? I think too that we always say, you know, to say that if you are, I've heard it two ways. One, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you're in the wrong room. Mm. And two, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're probably the dumbest. Mm. And I say that not in the sense of meaning that the capacity of knowledge you have stored mentally is like faulty or inaccurate, but the belief that because you understand how much knowledge you carry and how much you've retained, there is a resistance to feel like there is a need to learn anymore. And we always say that we want to learn, or like, I'm always ready to learn, but that comes with a bruise in your ego and just a natural human response. So when you feel your ego is bruised, it's like you said earlier, it's a fence. It's, I feel like now I have to defend myself from whatever you are about to say to me. And so we prohibit ourselves from being able to consume the message of enlightenment, to consume exactly what it is that's going to possibly change or be news to us, because we're thinking about the insult that a person may not even been trying to message when they brought their thought across to you. So it's interesting. We live in a society that is very contradictive. So it doesn't surprise me that people find themselves in that very same space, saying one thing, behaving in another way, you know? So sometimes I don't even really charge it to people. I'm like, you know what? When I think about the society that has raised you, you are a product of America. I can't even blame it. And myself included, you know what I'm saying? But it'd be real like that.
It's real like that. And you know, I was just telling my neighbor, you know, like 2 days ago, like, I'm over it. Like I'm over trading the trauma for profit.
Come on.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of saying, yeah, I got this car, I got this house, I got this family who I have to neglect. You know what I mean? Because I gotta go to work. You know, like, so
do you love them or do you not? You love them?
So, you know, so yeah, my daughter or son or whatever can secretly hate me, low key hate me. You know what I mean? Because like, well, I never see daddy. I never see mommy. You know what I mean?
And not even understanding why.
No, I don't even understand why. Because of this paycheck that is like, all right, you get this paycheck, but you got to hold this trauma.
You know what was so funny? When I went to Africa in 2016, I was in Uganda. And one of the first things...
Hold on. What the fuck is a plane? Is a helicopter?
Yeah, landing right in my front yard, actually.
That
happens from time to time. It's my 757. Excuse me, sorry.
I'm like, you got war back there?
It's definitely Pearl Harbor. No, but seriously. But thinking about... dang, I just forgot what I was saying.
I'm sorry. It was a plane.
It was a plane. I'm sorry. It was the plane.
It was hovering low.
Destructing my audio. The thought will come back eventually.
Yes, it will. But, you know, can we talk about, are you getting fireworks down in Virginia?
Am I getting fireworks?
Like, no, are like people like just busting off fireworks down there?
No, and because I wish I was in New York for times like that, but no, because if we talk about like just randomly, so Virginia has a law technically that fireworks can't go but so high in the air.
What?
Yeah. So people can't really pop fireworks like that for real.
Because
New York. But if we're talking about people throwing, what is those Molotov cocktails? We talking about people throwing them. We talking about those types of things happening. Oh, that's happening in the city.
Right. I'm upset.
Listen.
Gosh. They are upset, but I'm telling you right now, it's popping in New York.
Like, I bet. I wish I was in New York still.
It really feels like a civil war out here. Like, I'm just waiting for the dude with the whistle and the flag to start going by. Like, it is on. Like,
it's on. It's official.
Because these fireworks, they don't even sound like fireworks. They sound like TNT. I mean, like, it really sound like dynamite out here. Like, kaboom, kabowie. Like, that's what you're hearing. That's not. I know fireworks when I hear it. I've been on this earth long enough. It's
not sure that's fireworks. Nah. Mm-hmm. They putting something else in there.
Those are
explosives.
You know, like the ball that you put in the thing and you say fire in the hole and cover your ear?
There's an M80.
Like, we're talking cannons out here. That's what's busting over here. But yeah, nah, it's like I said, man, it's a great time. It's a great time.
We
unpack so much. And I'm doing my best to keep the podcast shorter. Because I don't know. I mean, I love the millennials, but the millennials don't want to hear shit for like 5 hours. So
they'd be like, okay, 20 minutes. I'm running to the store. I pop out. If it ain't done yet, I'm over it.
You know what I mean? But we're going to stop it here. Unless there's something you want to touch upon.
Nah, I feel like it was a great episode. I just want to big up to everybody that's out there fighting. Be comfortable also in the stance that you decide to take in this journey of this fight to social justice and equity. If you're not the type of person to take to the streets, don't quit yourself out there trying to take to the streets and then looking crazy or getting in the middle of something. Do what fits you. If you support the cause, you don't have to prove that to nobody else. You support the cause in a way that makes sense to you. And just be here for it.
Ooh, big facts. Big facts. Man, please don't get caught up, man. Don't do it what's comfortable to you. Because trust me, no matter what you do, it's never good enough to somebody else. There's somebody thinking that you're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you're the ones who are making the protesting signs. You're doing, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's someone out there that's like, well, you could have done more. So run your own race. Live life to your life. Be comfortable within your own skin. And that's what this whole purpose of this podcast is. It's to really get people just to live their authentic life, which is meaning live your individualistic life. Love one another. That's why I changed my Instagram name to the authentic, the millennial hippie. Because I am a millennial, but oh, fuck, I'm a hippie, man. Love. That's where I'm at. Love is the answer for me. Love is the solution. I love it. Can we just love? Love opens up so many doors. People want to be around me more because of love. I'm getting offers to do things and to be around big name people now. So it's because of love. It's all because of love. And I suggest that everybody just open your heart out, open your heart up, and just let the love in or let the love out, you know, and just let it come in. Feel it. Feel the love. There's love out here. There's love out here. And that's my time. Chas, real quick,
yes.
How the listeners can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Chilling with Chas. That's CHILLINWITCHAS on Instagram and Twitter. And also feel free to check me out on the Luggage Life podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play.
Oh, you already know the vibe. That's right. So, that's my time. Y'all been great and continue to live that authentic life. And good night.